Thought for today. Courtesy is a sign I like myself. Courtesy is a sign that I like myself. Now, I may sound like I'm haranguing on this, that I'm beating this to death, that I'm overplaying this, but what is the greatest courtesy we could do to ourselves or for ourselves? What's the greatest courtesy we could do? Can anyone give me any idea what that might be, the greatest courtesy that we can do for ourselves? You're all in accord to like yourself. Okay. If you like yourself, would you do something to yourself that was not pleasant? Would you do something to yourself that would put you in a bad light in your world that you created? Would you put yourself in a bad light, in a bad picture about how your actions are? Would you walk naked downtown? I mean, you'd be ostracized because you don't have the ability to do that and not be seen. Do you have the ability to walk downtown in the middle of town picking your nose? You know, you would feel very unhappy with yourself for doing such a thing. Could you go in the middle of the Catholic Church in the middle of one of their services and get in there and say, God, I want you, I love you, God, I love you. Could you say such a thing? No, and you shouldn't. Because that's disrespect to that organization's church and to you. Because you wouldn't want someone to do that in your activity, and you would never do that in theirs. That's courtesy. That's pure courtesy. Now, to say, God, I love you, is nothing wrong. And certainly the Catholic Church would love to hear, God, I love you too, from all their parishioners. But it's not the way to do it. It's not the way. Now, have you ever been to a Holy Roller Church? This is a church where they get so excited and so emotional about their religious experience. They're rolling on the floor and they're doing the whirling dervish dancing like the dervish group. And would you be comfortable there? You would be sort of out of your format. You'd be out of your way of doing things. Now, can the whirling dervish people, for instance, appreciate your introspection? And I would say probably they can. Because just because they have those little extras added on, that doesn't mean that they don't go for the beautiful meditations and introspection also. Now, how can you be courteous to yourself? Courtesy is a sign that I like myself. How can you be courteous to yourself? To be courteous to yourself, you respect yourself under all circumstances. You respect yourself no matter where you are. You respect yourself if you go to a party and everyone ignores you. You go to a party. Oh, by the way, do you have that article we read about the put down, the emotional put down the other day? Did you take that along?
I didn't take it. No, I didn't take it.
Oh, if it's over there, I'd like to give it to Astrid because I think she'd enjoy reading that. Now, what's that article about? That article is about people who have very fragile self-esteem. And that includes most of us here. People who have very fragile self-esteem. In the article, it said that it's written for the Popular Science magazine. It's written by from the medical profession. And it says that an experiment was done with people who were just normal people. And they were told that they're to go into this room and that the people in that room want to have their opinion. And then when they came out of the room, none of the people spoke to them. None of the people spoke to them. What's all this about? And then they said, the person who's leading the program said, those people didn't like you. Those people didn't want to talk to you. Those people did not find you acceptable at all. You know, and really, what's all that about? And then you go into another experiment, which is all these little tests that they're giving them, and it is a similar type test. The people didn't like them. They were told that they were stupid. They were told that they were ignorant. They were told they didn't know things. And so they had a test after all these negative things were said about them, and they found that their self-esteem had plummeted tremendously. And just to show how it affected themselves academically too, their IQ fell 20 to 30 points. 30 points, pow! You know, just because of their low self-esteem, which is something that is not a courtesy to us. Sylvia, what would you do if you went into a room where they didn't appreciate you?
I never go in a room where people don't appreciate me.
Well, play the game with me, please.
Okay.
If you were to go in a room where they didn't appreciate you, if I were to go in a room where they didn't appreciate me, I would be untouched. That's what I wanted you to say. I would be untouched because I like me. I like me. Now, Sylvia, you're in the war without your desire, but you're pushed into it. You're in this war, which, of course, you did desire, or else you wouldn't be pushed into it. But you're in this war, and 10,000 on one side fall and 1,000 on the other, but nothing happens to you. Why? Because you're untouched. Not because you're protected, but you're untouched. You are non-judgmental about it. You don't say the war is good or the war is bad. You just are untouched. And you walk through there without being touched. Now, the 10,000 and the 1,000, mucknicks, you know. They're going to die whether you walk through or not, because that's their choice too. Death is everyone's choice. At the time that they choose it, they get it. So, if we have courtesy to ourselves, we will be untouched by anything in the world which would be putting us down. Now, if we had courtesy for ourselves, we would never be touched by anything that lifts us up. Because if something can lift us up and we love it, it can be taken away and we can go boom down. So we do not allow ourselves to be touched by any circumstances in life. You say, well, my goodness, you're going to be a cold fish. Well, on the surface, yes. On the surface. Now, what do you like to do? Do you like to play cards? Do you like to sail a boat? Do you like to sit in your room and read your book and be peaceful and quiet about it? So here you are sitting at home on a wonderful Sunday afternoon. You have time away from your work and away from everything just to be by yourself. And lo and behold, the neighbor kids start trekking through the backyard, shouting and hollering and having a time of their life, irritating you. Now, if you are a master, and I don't mean that in that, but in that sense, if you're a master. If you're a master, you will just look at the kids and say, oh, how nice. You know, the kids are having fun being themselves. And then go back to your reading. You're untouched. If you say, why did those kids have to disturb my tranquil afternoon? I was having such a nice, peaceful time here. And those kids, and right out the top of your head, you go, oh, you get all shook up. And the kids didn't do it. It could have been a little mouse walking across the floor, and you see the mouse, ah! You know, some people can't take mice, you know. Or maybe it was a leopard. He leaped through the window that was open, and he looked at you, and you said, oh my God, a leopard in my house, what the? And but if you are peaceful, if he's going to kill you, he's going to kill you. But if you're peaceful, you just look at the leopard, and you say to him, hi, guy. What brings you for a visit this afternoon? How very wonderful. Ingeborg, you can bring me a glass of water if you like. What brings you for a visit in my house this afternoon? My goodness sakes. Why did you come here? And the leopard looks at you, untouched, undaunted, unafraid, at peace, balanced. And he says, I don't like to fool around with pussycats. I want to fight. And there's no one here to fight. And then you mess him up further. And you say, hey, Mr. Leopard, come on over here. Let me pet you. Have you ever been petted by a human, you know, who really loves you and thinks that you're beautiful and you're wonderful? So he comes walking over, his big tail slowly going back and forth, very, very, not meditatively, but very thinkingly. He's thinking about what's going on, you know. I don't know about this, you know. I've never let a human be friendly to me. And he comes and sits down by you, and you let your hand gently pet him. He's big enough, you don't have to reach over too far. And you think to yourself, what a great experience. Nobody would ever believe me if I tell them this. And of course, I don't need to tell anybody. I get the experience myself. And you're at peace. You're at absolute peace. And the big old leopard sits there and says to himself, wowee, what a fantastic lady this is. What a fantastic lady. Have you read the Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East? Have you read Volume 1? In Volume 1, one of the masters has a leopard as a friend. And this leopard goes everywhere with him. And people say, oh, you know. But it's a very friendly, tame leopard. Very interesting. Pay attention when you come to that. It might be in the first, second, or third book, but pay attention. It's very interesting. It's not the leopard. It's not the man who is called a master. But it's the attitude. It's the attitude. Now, Barrett Spaulding went up and petted the leopard, if I recall right, and he was kind of shy about it. Yes, that's all right. He's a lover. But you see, if you think it's not a lover, if your mind is fearful, and if your mind is afraid that he's not a lover, he may just reach his tongue out to lick you, and you think he's going to take your arm, you know. He's got a big tongue. And so it could be frightening. But it's not frightening to anyone who is courteous to themselves, who continually says, I am peace. I'm not at peace. I'm not at the table. I'm not at the house or whatever. I am peace. When you walk into your house, you are the house. You're not at it or in it or anything. You're the house. When you are sitting at the table, you are not at the table. You are the table. The table and you merge in consciousness, and you never think of it being separate from you unless you leave it. But everything that you do, you merge with it. You become one with it. And that's beautiful. But be courteous to yourself. Say to yourself, this leopard is a friend. And this leopard could be anything. It could be a speeding car that's coming down upon you in the street, and you cannot get out of the way in time. You say, all is peace. All is in divine order. And the car goes a different direction. Has a flat tire or whatever it must have, not to come at you. It just swerves away. And you think to yourself, whew. No, if you think to yourself, whew, then you're not realizing that you're the master. You know, people who are really of a high consciousness, and I've known many of them, people who are really of the high consciousness, they have had experiences of the car coming right toward them and driving right through them, untouched. Untouched. They don't need to tell other people. They don't need to tell themselves, but they're untouched. You follow me? This is the beauty of this whole thing, of being untouched, of being non-judgmental, of being, let's add it all up and say, unconditionally loving, without any condition, loving it absolutely and completely. Can you do that in your world? Can you have the courtesy to unconditionally love yourself? You say, well, I've got some problems and I'm not perfect. Hey, you're not loving your imperfection and you're not loving your problems. You are loving your divinity. You are loving your reality. You are loving the purity and the perfection that you are an ascended, you are a what? What are you? I am
transfigured.
I am transfigured. Now, what does it mean to be transfigured? It means to be illumined. It means to be raised up in your consciousness to a higher level of purity and beauty, to your reality. And that is why you must always, you don't must do anything, but that is why you always train yourself to be courteous to yourself. and courteous to your world. If you think being courteous in your world is going up to the chair and pulling it back for someone who's going to sit down, do so. Man or woman, child, makes no difference. Would you feel strange pulling a chair out for a child so that he could sit down? Not at all. Would you feel strange pulling it out for a very healthy man? Maybe. Would you feel strange pulling it out for a very capable lady who is a gymnast and everything else like that? Maybe. But don't. You're pulling it out for?
Myself.
Yourself. You're not pulling it out for them. Your courtesy is extending to the world because it's for yourself. You're not doing it for them. They get the benefit of a very courteous person. But you're doing it for yourself. You pull the chair out for yourself. You open the door for yourself. You do all these things for yourself. I get such a kick out of some people here. They will open the door for me, that they'll hold it with their finger and walk through first so that I can catch it. And I think to myself, okay, you know, if that's what you call courtesy, I might get whomped in the butt with the door, you know, because I wasn't holding it properly. But if I open the door for myself, I never get whomped in the butt with it. You know what I mean? When I open the door for myself, I got control of it. But when someone walks through ahead of me and keeps their finger there holding it open for me, I think to myself, I think I'll keep my hand over here. Because they've got to move in when I'm coming in. And they're in my way when I'm coming in. So is that courtesy? How would I open the door for a person? I would open the door and even make a little bow. Be my guest. And most of you would say, well, no, Herb, you go first. You know, you're the teacher, you're the sharer, you're the whatchamadoodler, and you go first. Hey, don't ever tell me to go for it first when I'm doing something. When you're doing something, then you tell me to go first, and I'd be happy to. But when I'm doing something, I'm holding the door for you and for me, but I make sure you go through first. That's courtesy. That's courtesy. Now, are you ready to experience courtesy at its highest and most beautiful level? Are you ready to really put it into motion for yourself? Or are you going to just pretend that you don't have to? Are you going to pretend that courtesy is not important? Well, I assure you, courtesy is very important. However we define the word, courtesy means love. I do this because I love myself. I do this because I love my world. I do this because everything is beautiful. I do this because that's what life's all about. You follow that? That's what life's all about. Now, when I'm at seminars, oftentimes I'll hold the door for everybody. And they'll just come charging out, not thinking a thing about it, not saying thank you, thank you, thank you. They don't have to, but they should, because that's courtesy. It's not me, it's the person who's holding the door open. They're holding it open for you. I have walked into, let's say, about 10 buildings in the last time I went to town. And each time I walked in the building, some person opened the door for me. It was a young person, a middle-aged person, an old person. Sometimes it was a little old lady holding the door open for me. I mean, I should have been doing it for her, but she was holding it for me. She said, sir? And I said, well, thank you very much. I said, that is so thoughtful of you. I don't say, what the hell is wrong with you? I should be holding it for you. Now get your butt through there. I'm holding the door for you. You know, no, that's not the point. That was courtesy. That was love. Now, I'm just trying to tell you, 10 people were madly in love with me when I was in town. They all held the door open for me, right? They all held the door open for me. And in each in their own little unique way. One was a little guy. He may be 8 or 10 years old. He went dashing through the door, and then he turned around, saw me, and he ran back and held open the door. He said, hey, Dad, come on in, you know, or Gramps. Hey, Gramps, come on in, you know. And I said, okay, son, here I come. And thank you very much. But it's neat. Courtesy can be such fun when you just are courteous to yourself. You create people being courteous to you in your world. And it's such a joyous thing. Now, people have slammed the door in my face. And what did that mean? It wasn't that they were trying to keep me out. They just went in that millisecond before I came in, which gave the door time to close, bang, and I had to open it. Now, Were they discourteous? In a respect, they didn't look to see if anyone was following them through the door. Now, when you're in a public place and many people go in and out the door, you could stand there all day long holding it open. You know? But you hold it open for one person and then you go on in. Sometimes if there's a group, you'll hold it open for them. But usually just one person. Now, that's just an illustration. That is not a criteria for courtesy. That is an illustration of courtesy. The criteria of courtesy is you do it for yourself. You're holding the door for yourself. You're not holding the door for the people to follow. You're holding it for yourself. And what would you like to have others do for you? Well, you don't do likewise to them. You don't do likewise to them. You do not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the golden rule from the teachings of Jesus. And you say, Herb, you're telling us the golden rule is not correct. That's right. Because the moment you say you do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, you're making a judgment. You're making a logical statement. You're reasoning through something, you know. And there is no reason and there is no logic in being courteous. Being courteous doesn't say I'm going to be courteous so that they will do something nice to me. I'm going to do unto others as I'd like to have them do unto me. Well, no, I don't really care if anyone is courteous to me. I'm going to be courteous to them. I don't care if anyone ever says thank you. I'm going to be courteous to them. And a lot of times people don't say thank you. But, Herb, how did you remember it if it doesn't matter to you? Because I'm always a sharer. I'm always in here giving you lessons, giving you programs, giving you something to work on, working with you on balancing up your world in a perfect, beautiful way. I'm always with you on that. And because of that, these things come up. These opportunities come up. The opportunity to be untouched. Yeah. The opportunity to be untouched. I think it was Jeff Provence. He was getting in the car, our car, and he's getting in the back seat. And while he's getting in the car, Ellen was slamming the door right on his finger. And Jeff says, open the door, please. And she did not respond instantly. And he said, please open the door. So she opened the door. She wanted to know why the door should be open. Why do you want me to open the door? Why? And we don't ask that. When someone says, open the door, you open it. And then he took his finger out, and he blew on it. But you understand? We are so concerned about knowing the reason why people say, do something. Anita, turn around backwards, you know. And then, no. And then Anita says, why? I mean, what's about turning around back? Well, you know, here in this group, if I say turn around backwards, you turn around backwards. You wouldn't say why. There's no logical reason for why I should turn around backwards. Everybody else facing forward, right? I remember one of you was a naughty person the other day, and I said, go stand in the corner. And you went and stood in the corner, and everybody else saw that. Everybody else thought, gee, that's cold of Herb to do that. You know, no. Your turn might come too someday. If you are inconsiderate, if you are not courteous, if you are not loving to yourself, right, Ingeborg? If you're not loving to yourself, right, Cynthia? If you're not loving to yourself, you may have to stand in the corner. Ellen said when she was a little girl and she did something wrong, and she was living in Germany, and which makes no difference, but when she did something wrong, she would go put herself in the corner. And her father would come home, why are you standing in the corner? Well, I was a bad girl. What did you do? Well, I, whatever it was. And he says, well, who told you to stand in the corner? I did. But you see, what did she want?
Attention.
Not only attention. She wanted forgiveness. She wanted attention, and she wanted her father to forgive her because she was such a good girl to stand in the corner when she did something bad. And you see, both motivations are not good. We don't ever need attention from anybody. We are always our dynamic, forceful, fabulous self, and all the world loves us because we cannot conceive of them not loving us, and we have all the attention we could want, and it's wonderful. Thank you, Ingeborg. I hadn't even taken advantage of her wonderful service. But are you able, under all circumstances, to be courteous to yourself? And you know what I'm saying. Are you able, under all circumstances, to be courteous to everyone in your world, regardless how nice or not nice they may be? They may be a bad person. Now, the Sadducees and Pharisees and so forth were against Jesus, and Jesus was on the cross, and he asked for a drink. And so someone gave him a sponge filled with vinegar. Now that's cold. That really is cold. Yet none had the courage to go up and offer him a sponge of pure water. None in the crowd had enough respect for humanity. Humanity. I mean, it's bad enough he gets nailed on the cross with hands and feet and stuff like that, but for the humanity of his dying. And so finally the soldiers wanted to finish it off and stuck a spear in his ribs and all the juices flowed out. And so they said, he is dead. But who had the courage to go up and offer a sponge of water to any of the three criminals? They're dying. The sponge is merely making their death a little more palatable, a little more tolerable. Can you stand up for principle when you might be thought badly of by the crowd? Can you say, stop treating that person that way, let them alone? And they probably stop treating the person that way because they, what are you talking about, lady? Yeah. What makes you think you're so big? You can tell me. You just wait, my husband's just around the corner and he'll be here, and he's a prize fighter, so let him alone, out. You know, and the husband comes around the corner, he's a little milquetoast, a little skinny guy, and no prize fighter. But the lady accomplished what she wanted, but she stood up. True, she told a little white lie, but the fact that she stood up and then they asked her questions and wanted to confront her, she just had to say, well, my bully husband is coming and he'll take care of you, you know. So she had the courtesy to stand up. True, she was shivering in her timbers because these people could react to her and put her out too. But she stood up. Can you stand up under circumstances like that? Will you ever have circumstances like that to stand up under? Oh, yes. You have all the time circumstances. All you have to do is to open your eyes. All you have to do is open your eyes. Most of the time, Heinz, we have our eyes closed because we don't want those types of experiences, correct? Most of the time we have our eyes closed because we don't want negative experiences in our life, right? And yes, the answer is yes, right. So you're walking down the street and you don't see people robbing people, hurting people, exchanging miserable attitudes. You don't see that. But if you are in a position at a mental attitude or to think you see it, then what do? You go up to these people who are arguing with one another and you say, you are the most beautiful couple I've ever seen. You're such a matched pair. Well, we're not married. But, you know, you're together and you care. But we're brother and sister. Ah, no wonder you respect each other so. And you want all the world to respect you. And that's why you're out here putting on this wonderful show for everybody. You're fantastic. Well, in no time, their show would change from violence to affection. In no time, when we agree with our adversary, everything changes to a very glorious and a wonderful expression. So think about those things. Think about those things. That's what being courteous is all about. Are you strong enough to be courteous under all circumstances? At least it's worth a try, isn't it? It's worth an effort. And pretty soon you'll be equal under more and more and more. With that, I will say I love you and have a wonderful day.